Listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh, yes. Guess what? Here we go, another show with as the weeks roll by and another hour of fun and adventure to share, because we've got a theme that's generally about you tuning in and your life getting better somehow. And that comes from a bit of a more involved intention or prayer, my daily prayer that says, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. There's a thought that makes my day, and I invite you, of course, to take that in. Maybe you like it, use it, or create one of your own that just it makes you all tingly and happy and juicy and inspired to move your life ahead and support a bunch of others in the process. Now, here on the show, we want to take a moment as we get started to thank our sponsor, which is the Comfort Technology. And you think, well, we could use comfort. We live in a high-tech world, so what could be better than the Comfort Technology? And, of course, someone's probably going, yeah, but what is it? Well, so glad you ask. What we have is a plug-in unit that is referred to by some of the happy customers as a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. So when you look at it, it looks like a small, stylish digital clock that you'd plug in on your desk, your nightstand, take it in your travel bag when you go traveling. And what does it do? Well, when you plug it in addition to functioning as a normal-looking clock, it creates a harmonized field of energy that is very much like having, oh, say, the Dalai Lama come and meditate in your room, or just all this pure, stable, harmonized love energy. And it's so powerful that dealing with our high-tech world and all the electromagnetic pollution and the radio frequency pollution from the cell phones and the Wi-Fi and the smart meters and all the wiring and all the electronics, it's hard on our bodies, hard on our minds and our emotions, just a whole lot nasty about it. When you plug in the comfort unit, it mitigates that stress in a beautiful way. People like Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub use it and recommend it. Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Reverend Michael Beck with the Agape Church and the movie The Secret, so many others. Go check out website Advanced, A-D-V-A-N-C-E-D, livingcomfort.com, because there's some holiday specials on there that are going to light your life and make you feel good all the time. All right, now, what about a wonderful opportunity today to jump into some fun with our wonderful guest. happy, smiley Joyce Graham is going to be talking with us today about, well, she's actually got two books. The one we're going to focus on probably a bit more is called The Path, Herbs, Homeopathy, Holistic Healing, which is a nonfiction book that's chock full of goodies for us. And you're saying, well, Joyce Graham, you may not have heard of her yet, but you soon will be hearing more of her if you haven't yet. She's a holistic counselor, a classically trained homeopath, certified Qigong instructor, and an author with over 30 years in the health and wellness field. And, of course, she recently published two books, The Healer, a holistic novel set in contemporary New Mexico, and the one referred to previously, The Path, Herbs, Homeopathy, Holistic Healing. Now, she's a Colorado author with a love of the mountains and the ocean, so she can't stay in Colorado all the time. Got to get closer to the ocean, you know. And she brings a wealth of knowledge and experience. She has been a college professor and worked in a variety of settings helping people make changes in their life. And she's now living most of the time in Colorado and, of course, another place by the ocean, surprise, surprise. And there's a new book that'll be coming out probably, next year. But before we get to that, let's check in with Joyce and learn all about this path. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Kenneth, and thank you for having me on this afternoon. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, a mutual pleasure. Now, I'm just wondering, because you've got a whole lot of time spent, 30 years, over 30 years, what brought you into the world of helping others?
You know, I first knew that I wanted to be in a serving position and be being the helping profession when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I used to work with a friend of mine who actually had cerebral palsy and help her in the pool. She was fortunate that her parents had a beautiful home. And so we used to swim, and I'd help her, you know, work with that. And then just doing Head Start when it first started years ago. I got involved when I was about 15. And so I've always known that I just love the world of service and being in the helping realm. And so it's just always called to me at a very young age.
Ah, oh, okay. And then can you help us catch up a little bit? I don't know if there was anything first, you know, you mentioned early in your life, if there was, is this like a tradition in the family of some healing, or what kind of just turned you in this direction?
I knew that I was going to be either in the nursing field or in maybe a doctor when I was a teenager, and then, as we often do, become rebellious. I took a little sojourn into banking for about a year, and but that didn't suit me very well, so I became a respiratory therapist and loved working in the hospital setting. And then my mother was an author, and she worked with the magazine, in the magazine industry, and was a vice president and did a lot of writing herself. So she really encouraged me at an early age. So I started writing when I was a teenager, and I kind of had this vision that when I was later in life, after I'd worked in the field of helping others and serving and in the healing profession, that I would choose that I would write. And so I came into it about 15 years ago is when I started really getting serious and taking creative writing classes. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity to serve. I think serving and helping others is just such a great joy in life, and I think it's a journey that a lot of people that are in this profession or similar professions really know. They just know at a young age that's a calling, that's something that they're going to do to help. And so I've really just had a great time of it all my life.
Wow, And you said your mother was an author?
She did some little things, nothing that hit the bestseller list, but she did some little things, and she wrote articles, and she was mostly a magazine editor, but she did a few little things, and she was always president of various clubs, and so she really encouraged me. And in some ways, you know, having a mother that's an editor, it took me a while to kind of break that voice that said, okay, now it's not this way. So I would always edit myself when I first started, and I know a lot of authors can understand that. You tend to edit, and so I've had to relearn how to write and not edit as I was writing, but just let the words flow on the page, and then just fall in love with the process, and then choose a professional editor to actually do the work. You know, after you've worked on it, then for the grammar and for just looking over the piece to see if it's ready for publication or if it needs certain areas worked on. So that's how I kind of fell in love with writing, and it's just been a real joy, and that and music outside of helping people. So, and I've been a counselor for 24 years, and I became a classical homeopath over 15 years ago. I started using homeopathy, which is what drew me into the first book. I started using homeopathy when I was very young, and decided not to take the flu shot. I used that funny word, oxylococcinum, that nobody can pronounce, as instead of taking the flu vaccine. And so the healer begins with a flu vaccine that causes someone to be paralyzed. Hmm. So that's how I started that first book. And then it's a story of a woman who's a naturopath and how she helps people in her healing practice.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, just for the moment, since you brought this up, I am wondering if you have any comments, because practically everyone, at least in our country, I don't know how prevalent it is in every city, but I see it on television quite a bit, and it's the reminder, it's the cold and flu season, and then it's get your flu shot, and then there's those big billboards, and then if you drive by a pharmacy, there's usually something there. If you go into a grocery store and you go near their pharmacy, the different things, no waiting in line, flu shots anytime, you know, take two, they're small. I mean, just so many things encouraging people to do this, and this has gone on for a long, long, long time.
Yes, it has.
So can you shine any light a little bit about the idea, at least rather than, you know, the whole subject of vaccines, at least on the flu shot and homeopathy, and it'd be nice to get your input on this.
Well, I never try to convince someone against their will, or never try to change someone's mind. And that's really the reason why I wrote the novel. Life should be about freedom of choice. And we certainly in this country have a lot of freedom to choose. And I am never a person that believes we should try to convince or cajole someone unless they're open to other ideas. So I never convince people, and certainly there are people that have a very strong constitution, and they seem to do well no matter what they do. They can eat chocolate like George Burns. He smoked a cigar all his life, you know, and at least he did on TV, and we watched him smile and drink his martini. There are certain people who can have different strong constitutions that can tolerate a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I never try to cajole or convince against anyone's will, because it's important to know that everyone needs to make their personal choice. So it just happens that people that usually come to me or ask me about the alternative use of oxylococcinum or other great homeopathic remedies that we have, you know, they've already read a little bit about it and they know to ask and inquire and they're curious. So those are the kind of people that usually see oxylococcinum and use it as a preventative. You can also take it at the first sign of a flu if you notice yourself coming down with it. And of course, most people in the healing profession recommend that if you notice yourself starting to come down with something and you don't feel well, do everything, like go to bed early, get rest, eat the right kinds of foods, and take care of yourself. So, and drink lots of water, all the basic things that are really important to do. But I don't convince anyone to do anything. It's a freedom of choice to either take a flu shot or to try something different.
Yeah. So in the I don't know if you conceive of a difference between convincing someone and offering information.
Oh, sure.
Okay. I wasn't sure if those if you made a distinction between those, because certainly I am fully aligned with the idea that we want people to decide for themselves. And for me, one of the things that I would like when making a decision is to have the support of some really good information upon which to base my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, I don't know about other people. I'm hoping most people would say yes to that, but of course, when the information that's out there, sometimes we have to be a little more discerning, because the American Medical Association puts a ton of information out. Pharmaceutical companies put information out on a limited scope. And what I'm enjoying about meeting someone like you is the time you've put into your research and seeing some other sources of information that certainly might want to be considered by people when they're looking into things. For instance, most of us in this country aren't that familiar with homeopathy, but from what I understand, the British royal family, their primary care physician has been a homeopath going back into the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. It's very popular with them. It's their first line, and they use that. Also, it's very popular in France and Germany, which is where the originator, Samuel Hahnemann, lived first and raised a family, and then later years he moved to France. It's very, very popular in India, and I met some people from Brazil, and I looked into the schools in Brazil are flourishing for using homeopathy. So, and there's many.
Wow.
That's flourishing in many parts, Australia, New Zealand. I was just in Hawaii. I've helped the service members as a counselor for several years, and I was just in Hawaii for most of this last year, and it's very common. Natural therapies and natural healing is very common. And here in Denver, Boulder, and Fort Collins, the whole Front Range, it's very popular for people to know and understand that we have a lot of different things available to us. Dr. Oz, if you look at his website, he's an MD cardiologist, and he has wonderful information about all different kinds, not just homeopathy, but all different kinds. He's mentioned arnica, which is one of the first remedies that people use is arnica. It's great for bruising, for sores, for sore muscles, not an open wound, but if you're in the garden working and you have a sore shoulder, or if you're a skier or snowboarder, cross-country skier, you've got sore legs, you can put arnica, and it works really great. So it's very common to see it on the shelf at Whole Foods, and people usually can stop in and just say, oh, what's this arnica? I've heard it's great, and get some of the gel and start with that. Excuse me. And that's a really good thing to do. And then ask your friends, because you'll be surprised. The statistics show 70% of the population of the United States use some form of holistic healing, including massage and acupuncture.
Oh. Wow.
So it's really pretty
70%?
Widespread.
70%? 70%. Was that probably wasn't a survey done by the American Medical Association.
Well, I don't really. I heard that statistic, and I think it was Dr. Oz that actually mentioned it on his television show.
Oh, okay.
And also Dr. Andrew Weil in Arizona does integrative medicine, teaches his med students about herbs and homeopathy, and has been a forerunner, Harvard-educated doctor. So there are many, many very well-educated people that have done their research and understand that we are in a complementary, integrative lifestyle right now. That's why Dr. Oz is so popular, and that's why Oprah sponsored him to do his show, because everybody wants to know about it now.
Yeah.
And
I wish that were the case, that everyone wanted to know about it.
A lot of people really want more information and good information. And that's just such a wonderful thing that people are searching for different ways to take care, self-care, and to do preventative.
One of the reasons that I'm so honored to have you on the show, Joyce, is that you and people like the others that you mentioned, Dr. Oz and Dr. Weil, and there's certainly a very small number of doctors that have picked up on this, and that number is increasing, and it just gladdens my heart, because we know that there's not a lot of this information out there compared to the information that's been out there for a lot of years about drugs and pharmaceuticals and the money that goes into that. So every time you write a book, you give a talk, these people, you are, to me, are a first line of very special heroes in helping to educate more and more people to the point where this will predominate at some point in time, which would make my heart very happy.
I think that we need complementary, and I'm not a purist. I believe we need complementary care, and we need good we need good OBGYN doctors. We need good surgeons. We need good eye doctors. We need good ER doctors. We need good doctors and that are trained. And I almost went to med school myself. I was accepted and decided to go into psychology.
Mm.
So I love what the medical profession can do in many, many, many areas. So I am a big proponent of integrative complementary care and not trying to say, well, one is exclusive or better. That is not my desire to convince or try to, you know, change anyone or to make them think that my ideas are in any way better, because everyone has to get educated and understand themselves what's right for them. And The Path, my second book, Herbs, Homeopathy, and Holistic Healing, talks beautifully about different things. Chinese medicine, written by Dr. Randall Wing. He's been in practice for over 15 years in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And acupuncture is just so beneficial for many different things. That pain relief is one of them. And there's many things that it can do to help the body, help you relax. It can help with many different issues. So we just have a bevy. We're so blessed that we have so many different options that we can choose from and educate ourselves on. So it was a real joy to write this and have five other people join me as authors in the PAP. It's a compilation. Brigitte Mars, a very well-known herbalist in Boulder, wrote the chapter, A Few Great Herbs. And she talks about 10 different herbs that are wonderful. And one of them is dandelion. And that can be made into a tea. And you can use that. It's really helps to support a mild detoxification of the liver. And we all eat way too much at Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up here. So that's a really great tea, and you can get it actually already made up if you don't want to make it yourself at Sprouts locally here in Denver or Whole Foods. Another one that is great is peppermint. Peppermint tea has been known for years to be accommodative to the digestive system, and that's why a lot of great restaurants have peppermint candy. Have you ever, you've noticed they give you peppermint candy when you leave? Some of them even put it on your pillow when you're in the hotel because it calms the body, it calms the digestive system. I like it as a tea rather than with sugar. So there's just some really great things out there. Another one that I like homeopathically is chamomilla. When I teach and I have a room full of people that might be grandparents, I have seniors, chamomilla is a great one as a grandparent because you are taking care of a baby. You might want to talk to the mom about using chamomilla if you have a grandbaby that's cutting teeth. And it's just really great. It's better than vodka. You know, the old-fashioned, remember vodka used to be used on the gums?
Oh, is that where you use it?
Yeah. Oh, I used to use the vodka.
So, I didn't know you could use it there.
My goodness.
Well, that's pretty wonderful. Now, when you say chamomilla, is that related to chamomile?
Thank you for asking that. Yes, it is. It's related to chamomile, and it's a wonderful, easy to use homeopathic for babies that are teething, and it is made from chamomile. It was first used in Germany. They discovered it there, and it's also a good tea to use if you have indigestion or you have muscle and you have some, you eat too much food, if you prefer that over, some people like it better than peppermint tea. So after Thanksgiving this next week, you can, you know, get your chamomile out or your peppermint. And again, that's personal choice as to which one you're going to use.
Okay, so now if I'm understanding, like if I wanted to get the homeopathic preparation, then I'd be asking for chamomilla versus chamomile?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Chamomilla is the homeopathic, and chamomile is the tea form.
Okay, the herb. Okay. And,
yeah.
And so now if someone, for instance, wanted to use that, I don't know if this is in many of the health food stores, the chamomilla, and would it be as the little round balls, or is it as some sort of a tincture? How does that come homeopathically usually?
I can tell you haven't been in there to see it. It's in the little tiny bottles, and it's the little pellets. And I should have shown you one when we met at the fair last week. And it's in a little bottle, and they're little tiny pellets.
Okay. That's the lactose stuff?
And you put them under your tongue. Or
right.
Some people, there are tinctures. Some companies, I don't use tinctures as much as I use the pellets in my office.
Right.
But some companies do make the little tincture where you put it in a glass of water, and then you just, you know, you take a drink.
Okay, so if you're helping a child that's teething, how would you use the chamomilla?
You can put it in a little bit of really pure water in a glass, not a metal glass or anything that has metal, but just put it in a glass and let it dissolve.
Okay.
And some of those capsules that are different companies make them so that they dissolve really fast, so you don't have to wait very long. Or you can put it in their sippy cup. So there's a couple of different ways. And, yeah,
okay.
It's really easy. It's easy to dispense.
Oh,
a lot
okay.
of parents would just put it in a glass and then let it dissolve and then put it in the in a little tablespoon, plastic spoon, a child's spoon for them, and then it just is really easy.
Oh, okay. So this isn't something that it's not something that you actually rub on the gums. It's something that they take internally.
Well, it is. Homeopathy comes in at the store. It comes in a bottle with little pellets.
Right.
Or you can get it in the tincture, depending on the company or the brand that you're looking at, the pharmaceutical company. So if you get the pellets, you should probably dissolve them. That's how I tell my clients. They're easy to dissolve in water, and then you put it in a little plastic spoon and then give it to the child. You don't really rub it on the gums because homeopathy is energetic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give it, it's going to affect the body. You don't have to rub it on the
gums. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that makes it a bit easier.
It's
so
much
you can,
easier.
So you could, like you said, put it in a sippy cup or in their formula.
Well, you don't want to put it in their formula. You always want to administer it just in water.
Okay, good. I'm glad I brought that up.
Plastic. Yes, yes. You don't put it in food. You just want to put it in pure water.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really wonderful. And another remedy that we'll just bring up here is arnica is used on the body as a gel or a cream or an oil. There's three different ways you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you massage the oil, and some people like the oil into your skin, or some people like a cream that is or a gel. So you can get it three different ways. And all of the health food stores in Denver, I've seen it. And just choose one and try that, and that's great. And then you can also take that by mouth. You can buy the little pellets, and you usually start with a 30X or a 30C.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people to go on the Internet or read a book, which is why I wrote The Path. It describes basic information of how to use homeopathy, so you're familiar with the technique before you actually try it. Get a little educated before you jump in.
Okay, so in The Path, if someone's new to homeopathy, would they want to pick up your book because it gives a nice intro, or do you refer people to more in-depth information in the book to help them, because I know this is a compilation of chapters about different things. So how would this fit into someone's plan when they get your book?
It's very descriptive. Every chapter talks about the herbal chapter by Brigitte Mars and also my chapter on homeopathy. I talk about how to use it, and then when they go to the store, there's always someone there at Whole Foods, Vitamin Cottage, Sprouts, and they can talk to the person in the vitamin area. But you should look at different sources. I like to look at the Internet when I'm doing research, and my book certainly has some really great information. I gave 9 homeopathic remedies that I recommend everyone have in their home kit.
Oh,
when I teach a class, I always say, start with these 9 and then expand. Because if you know how to use 9 for your body, the beginning 9, then you can learn the next 9. But there are just some really good ones that you can take with you. I have a black bag, literally a black bag that I carry with me when I travel.
Yeah.
I bet you do. Men usually have one, so I bet you have one for all your necessities.
It's not black.
It's not black, okay. But Usually it's a dark color. I have a green one that mm-hmm. I use for toiletries, and then I have a black one I use just for homeopathy. And some people like oils. Are you familiar with Young Living and some of the oils?
Mm-hmm. Yes, essential oils.
I bet a lot of the listeners have used essential oils.
And you mentioned that in your book, right?
Well, I do, and you don't want to mix the two in the same black bag. Just wanted to make that note, because oils are strong, and homeopathy is a gentle, energetic system, and so you don't put them in the same black bag. There are oils in the book by Mindy Green. She wrote a really great chapter on Introduction to Aromatherapy.
Right. Before you get into that, I'd like you to clarify something for me.
Surely.
About the, you know, what I wasn't clear from is when you mentioned don't put the essential oils and the homeopathic remedies in the same bag. I wasn't sure if you're indicating that if you have sealed homeopathics and a bottle of essential oils that is also closed, and you put them near each other, that essential oil can interfere, even though it's closed, with the homeopathic that's in a sealed container?
Well, oils don't normally... Good question. Thank you for asking that. Oils don't normally stay just inside the bottle. I mean, my bottles of oil have oil all around the outside of them.
Oh, boy, you just have fun with your oils, don't you?
Because there's oil that's on your hand. There's oil that I have clove. I have orange.
Mm-hmm.
I have that was one my chiropractor taught me. And when I use different essential oils, I have peppermint. Those are strong, and so they don't stay when you're using them right in the bottle. Like I said, they're all over. You want to put them in a plastic bag and separate them from your homeopathics, because you can contaminate your homeopathics, because they're more fragile energetically, and that's a little too complicated to go into on the show tonight.
Yeah.
But I would ask people to go read about that.
Right, while you're making mention of that, people, if they go on airplanes, can you say anything as it regards to the integrity of homeopathics or essential oils as someone goes through the screening systems at the airport, or their bags are x-rayed?
That's a good question too, Kenneth. Gosh, you're asking me good ones tonight. A lot of people ask that, and I've never had a problem. I put mine are pretty well packaged in my black bag and my suitcase. So actually, I put mine in my suitcase,
mm-hmm.
and I have a purse that I carry two or three homeopathics in my purse when I travel. I've never had a problem with them being damaged. I've never had a problem going through x-ray with my purse having three homeopathics. They've worked just fine.
Oh, good.
Now, that's my opinion. Other people might tell you something else, but I've never had an issue with it. So
right. Well, good. So that
helps
based on your experience about that.
Seems to be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. I like that. And... now, I'm also curious, in your book, because we're getting into, we mentioned the herbs and then some of the homeopathic things, which I think are pretty exciting, and then a bit about some oils. Now, there's a chapter called Blazing Your Own Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little about that in the book?
Sure, that's a woman who had her own spiritual journey. She used to work up at Sunrise Ranch, which is a spiritual retreat center
mm-hmm.
just up outside of Fort Collins.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote about her spiritual journey and finding her own path. And so she had a coach, and she took a class up at Sunrise Ranch and just really enjoyed that experience, and it changed her life. And so she wrote about it in the, and I published it because a lot of people find a spiritual, have a spiritual awakening or have a spiritual experience, and it changes their life. And she had one, and she wrote about it, and she talked about when she was with her coach and taking responsibility for her own life and creating some different things that she created, and it changed her life to be at Sunrise Ranch. She was actually one of their communication directors, and she formed a healer's jam, and she moved to Glen Ivy. Jacqueline is now at the Glen Ivy Center in California, so she's no longer in Colorado. Just a wonderful person, and I just liked her story, and I thought it was really great in a book on healing.
Oh, okay.
Just really, really felt, and she's a wonderful
person.
All
right, so that's a spiritual component.
Mm-hmm.
That
does
that would be one of the valuable things that a person can get. So there's my goodness, such a good variety that you've put in this book.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and then there's this chapter. I love it. The healing process, which I can't understand because. Don't we always heal instantly, like they show on TV?
Do you think we do?
Well, I know it can happen, but I mean, I'm just kind of tongue-in-cheek referring to the pharmaceutical world, which does, with some of their interventions, produce sometimes some very quick effects. But there's more to that than just taking some pharmaceuticals and having the biochemistry of the body change. So that's where I'm kind of excited to have you delve in a little bit into this chapter about the healing process.
Well, this was written by Wonder Bob, and he's trained with many different people, and he's an energetic healer. He's trained with he's trained in Reiki. He's trained in a lot of different healing modalities. He's worked with a couple of different shamanic healers. He's had just some really great people that have worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a leader of the Dances of Universal Peace. And so he really wrote a chapter that asks us questions where you can ask yourself about what you're doing with your life. And so he's wonderful at asking questions to get you to look deeper.
Mm.
And so many of his paragraphs and his statements are about asking yourself questions to have you look deeper at your own life and at your body. Yeah, he's done some pretty amazing things. He talks about the woman who, years ago, there was a woman that was recognized. She lifted a car off of a relative that was in the driveway, and she was like 90 pounds. And so she goes out and she lifts this car. And he talks a little bit about the intention and then how strong the body becomes under conditions like that. And there's many, many other stories where people have done superhuman feats with their body to help someone who's either in a rescue situation.
Yeah.
So he included that in his chapter. And I just thought he did a great job about talking about the body and how the body is pretty remarkable and can do a lot of self-healing on its own. So it was just a really great chapter. Mm. I really liked the way he put it.
Yeah. Oh, mercy. This is lovely. So the person gets an adventure in the path of natural healing from your book with the herbs, the homeopathy, acupuncture, the aromatherapy, and then the spiritual component from the woman blazing your own trail, and then Wonder Bob with that little looking into the whole process of healing for us. Oh,
Well, thank you so much. I'm just delighted that we've had this opportunity. I mean, it's just wonderful to talk about different types of remedies and oils. And also, I want to mention that we had talked about oils. Mindy, in her chapter, talks about how to make your own and how to make your own blend. So you can actually blend many different types of oils and make them into a spritzer or use them.
Oh, like a wine spritzer?
Yeah, like a wine spritzer. Well, one of the main things that she talks about is, you know, energy clearing.
Yeah.
She's got one in here, 5 drops of frankincense, 3 drops of geranium, 2 drops of bergamot.
Okay.
And you can use that as an energy heal. I know frankincense is really powerful.
Yeah.
And I have some. And I think that's great. I haven't done that one yet. But
so
the,
when you're saying spritzer, it's not like a something you pour in a glass and toast with, right?
We're talking about spritzing the environment. Kenneth, I think you're ready for your cocktail tonight.
It'll be a lot more years before I have one again.
Okay.
But anyway, so many other ways to get high using the natural drugs in the body. I do tell people that I love drugs and I take them every day and take a bunch of them. And then I go on to explain to folks that I want free drugs and I want the most pure drugs. And the only place I can get them is from Dr. Myself, my inner pharmacist. So, and some of my teachers have basically said, when it comes to that, we've got such an amazing pharmacy within us, and when we
mm-hmm.
learn to use that, and then with someone like yourself who helps us to reach out into the natural world with something subtle like homeopathy. I mean, Gandhi, you didn't mention, but I've done some research because I've been a big fan of homeopathy and gone to a couple of classical homeopaths in my life and found that process fabulous. I want to recommend people look into this with you, that Gandhi, who researched, because here he is, this whole country with a huge number of people to take care of, and he's looking at their medical needs, and he says, well, of anything I've looked at, the most effective and the least cost method of treating people's illness is homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you've got mm-hmm. such a good heart. It's not a surprise you've gone in and studied that.
Well, he did say that. Yes, I forgot to mention it. And there are lots of famous people that we could talk about, but he did, and that certainly set his country, you know, on that right path. And I've studied with several Indian homeopaths, and one of the things about them is they'll have a clinic, and they do pretty fast, rapid prescribing because they might have 50 people waiting to see them.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't take, so they have to really know their remedies and they have to know how to do it quick. So, yeah, they're amazing. I've had several that I've studied with that are famous, and Rajan Shankaran, he came over in the 90s when I was in school, and another homeopath, Jeremy Scher, he is from England. He was over here, and I took several of his classes. But those are, you know, in India, they use it a lot, and it's very well respected. Whereas we're pretty new to it. They've been using it for hundreds of years. So it's a 200-plus-year-old system,
mm-hmm.
but they've been using it for a long time, and it's very effective because it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
So they're able to treat a lot of people.
Yeah, but what if I feel guilty about the money a medical doctor or pharmacist is not getting because I'm using this cheap form? Can I just write them a check anyway?
Well, maybe you should. You could support them and then take your homeopathy so you don't feel guilty.
Oh, good. Yeah, now what's the remedy in homeopathics for guilt?
I have to think about that one. I don't know that I have one. It's probably, I don't know, it's been developed yet.
Well, I grew up in a Jewish household, and I married a Roman Catholic woman, and between Judaism and Catholicism, there's probably no better groups on the planet at using guilt to advantage and for manipulating people. So wouldn't it be amazing if you could take a remedy to deal with that?
I think the remedy is forgive the person that's trying to make you to feel guilty.
There you go.
And don't allow yourself to buy into that.
Okay. See? Ha ha. Instant solution.
Well, you know, I mean, you can also wonder, why are they trying to make you feel guilty? What is it they want?
Yeah, in the terms of religious organizations, what they want is to control you and to have your money.
There you go. There you
so,
go.
So, I mean, that didn't take too long after I did some research, but...
Uh-huh.
But God love you, that's it's just so amazing. I am just thrilled with how you've taken the time to put this together. Now, let's have you let people know, for instance, if they want your books, you know, tell them how they can get them, or if they want to be in contact with you, because
sure.
I'm guessing you see people in person. Do you do phone consulting as well?
I do. And I have an office here in Denver on Santa Fe and Bowles. Block north of Bowles, and I can be reached at my office number, which is 303-888-0224, and also through my website, there's a way to contact me. They can send an email if they'd like more information about me and my practice. I'm happy to answer emails. And then if they want a personal
And the website they would go to would be?
Oh, thank you. JoyceGraham.com.
And the spelling?
JoyceGraham.
.com. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Thank you. And I'm also on Amazon. Both books are up on Amazon, and the e-books are coming within the next, hopefully in the next month. I'll have both up in ebook form if they're an ebook reader. I know a lot of people have their Kindles and Kindle Fire and iPads and they're reading them on their iPhones. So you'll be up there. They can download. So
that's so funny.
It's a new world we live in. But
yeah.
I'm pretty tactile. I like the soft copy.
And I mean, when folks take a look on your website and they see this picture, and I met you recently, I mean, just this sweet, sweet, gentle soul. And what's so interesting is, to me, how aligned that is your look as this sweet, loving, caring, petite person with homeopathy, which... is, of course, this vibrational remedy in which the essence, whatever the herb or item that went into creating the remedy, it's been so diluted that all that's left is a vibration. And yet, with that subtlety, there is a great power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of, isn't that interesting how your personalities... And ways are so aligned with this homeopathic nature.
We have a saying in homeopathy that less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you stimulate the body, which is what homeopathy does, it stimulates the body to self-heal and to help itself, then, you know, it's wonderful. And again, it's a great complement to other modalities that are out there. And I just want to say that I have wonderful friends that are medical doctors, and I love that we have them in our world. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that complementary and integrative approach is really, really very important.
Oh, yeah.
And, I really do. And I always send first-time people to read about homeopathy. Dr. Oz has a great website, and so does Dr. Andrew Weil. You can learn a lot about natural healing from.
And they both mention homeopathy?
They do. Uh-huh. Well, Andrew Weil is more, he has several things he talks about, but he does do a lot with herbal remedies. So,
okay.
Yeah, but it's just been, Ken, it's been such a pleasure. And you've had some really wonderful guests on your show, so I'm just honored that you have that you met me and asked me to be here. And
yeah,
you
what
just
a treat.
You do a great show. I've listened to some of the other ones. And
oh,
I
thank
have.
I'm glad that you found there to be value. And just want to thank you, Joyce, for taking time. And folks, remember, joycegraham.com or phone 303-888-0224. And Joyce, just all the best to you on your books and your practice and your just wonderful energy.
Oh, it's been great to be here. And I just want to say I hope everyone has a really safe and happy Thanksgiving this next week, and traveling and eating and having fun. It's going to be a beautiful holiday.
There you go. Well, the best to you. And as we wrap up, and to you, Joyce, to my beloved listeners, God bless and goodbye for now. Let go.